This podcast is a production of DomesticPreparedness.com.
It's always good to be with old friends, especially when they're well-informed. On January the 18th, 2017, Dom Prep met with Mr. Joseph Trindle at a D.C. coffee house. Joe's law enforcement background is extensive. He's currently the President and Chief Operating Officer at Coastal International Security. Before that, was Director for the Department of Homeland Security's Federal Protective Service and contributed to the creation of DHS's Infrastructure Security Compliance Division, which led to the creation of the world's first Chemical Security Academy. Prior to DHS, Joe served 20 years with distinction at the U.S. Marshals Service and is a distinguished veteran of the United States Marine Corps. It's always gratifying to be in such company. Over coffee, I asked Joe two questions. Is there a problem with personnel retention in law enforcement? And if so, how do we fix it? I hope you enjoy his answers.
Well, retention today is a significant problem for most law enforcement agencies, and that's a combination of the aging demographics of law enforcement officers. A good many of the officers who have come in during the 80s and even before that, the 70s now, are in senior positions or very seasoned, very experienced, and that institutional knowledge within their agencies are now retiring out. And I think there's a drive, too, that is pushing them out the door or drawing them away from their career beyond just the being of age to retire. But that is the changing dynamic of the threat. More law enforcement officers today are targeted for ambush. And that has been an escalating trend. And I wrote an article for you on this back in 2009. That's been an escalating trend really since 2008 going forward. And the curve has escalated dramatically over the past 18 months, 24 months. The other aspect of it, though, is there's elements in the population that are adverse to law enforcement and directly challenging law enforcement on many levels. The most prominent portion of that, of course, is in the use of force question. And over the past arguably 18, 24 months, that also has come into the limelight with great question and great challenge. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division has weighed in strongly and arguably in some respects initially against law enforcement and come out with some investigative reports that pose tremendous challenges to law enforcement in general. Technology has also created a challenge. No longer is a law enforcement officer on the street able to handle things discreetly or handle things with the discretion that they were able 10, 15, 20 years ago, because the body cam, anything they say, anything they do throughout their shift is subject to review. And some agencies that I'm familiar with, they have even had officers reprimanded or sanctioned for cussing while by themselves in the cruiser on duty. This is probably extremely rare, and I can't think of too many commanders that would agree that that's a good management approach, but yet the sensation of that event moving through the law enforcement community helps drive people that are eligible to retire or concerned about their safety, their security, their longevity in this career field to look elsewhere. And I think that's having a tremendous impact on retention in the law enforcement agencies, particularly the bigger agencies. So it's kind of a perfect storm that we're facing now with respect to technology, with respect to the threats that law enforcement's facing today, with respect to public opinion diminished against law enforcement or more adverse to law enforcement. And you have an population group within the law enforcement community that is eligible to retire. So in the total, I think that that's having a strong adverse impact on retention in the law enforcement community. I think also it's going to be difficult, and it is showing some difficulty with some of the agencies, some of the departments, in being able to attract people into the law enforcement community. From a personal standpoint, my sons have no interest in going into law enforcement as they are looking at their career fields. They had an interest in doing so, but frankly, they don't feel that their talents would be well appreciated. Instead, they're moving into the intelligence arena. And that's another thing that I think is drawing people, is that there are more career opportunities to support a broader base of Homeland Security, Domestic Security and Protection Services, than just law enforcement today. And we are, in law enforcement, competing against those other opportunities that are out there. So when you look at the adverse public opinion toward law enforcement, combined with the actual physical threats targeting law enforcement, combined with some of the administrative challenges with respect to the degree of scrutiny and oversight of the law enforcement officer, it really comes down to a question of how are we going to recruit and attract really competent, qualified people into this field when there's so many other options for them out there. And that's going to be a continuing impact, because as we face the challenges today that affect retention and recruiting, that has a reverberation effect 10, 15 years down the road on the types of people and quality of people that we have in the career, settled into that career field. We have a major national department that is lowering its standards. We've been through this. In the early 80s, some major departments lowered their standards. They tried to move people through into the law enforcement positions, the police officer positions, very quickly, and conducted the background investigations and the scrutiny of those people, the vetting, concurrently while they're going through training, only to find that in some cases, with a fairly disproportionate number of cases, they would have to effect arrests on their hiree while they're in training. And so lowering the standards and slowing down that vetting process in order to make up for the lack of retention is going to also create a public risk, as well as a risk to the profession.
Well, that helps to describe the problem. How do we fix it?
The development of our first responders really needs to start at the high school level, perhaps even earlier. And there's some programs that do that. To some degree, you talk with a number of young law enforcement officers. They were influenced by their school resource officer. And so by virtue of solving another problem, that is drugs and violence in schools, we've created an ambassadorship that has helped this recruiting quality individuals into the career field. Other things, though, that can help is we've got to make a full court press in the profession to change public opinion. And we've got to change it on a macro scale, through the national dialogue, as well as at the street level. And that is that the law enforcement officer is essentially a peacekeeper and ambassador within the local community. And so changing that dynamic with the law enforcement officers on the street at the ground level is extremely important. As an agency, specific agencies need to take their best practices and really capitalize and publicize on those best practices. You see some of the YouTube and social media hits where a law enforcement officer is doing something that is tremendous, that's really good and gets good publicity. Those things people are craving for, and they help the agency then turn around and recruit quality people.
Yeah.
And I think every law enforcement agency around the country has a capability to capitalize on the great things their officers are doing and to look at creative ways to put their officers in good positions to have a strong relationship with the community. And these core principles go back to the very beginnings of the American-British law enforcement model, the Pelion model, whereby we can't in law enforcement be effective unless we are linked and supported by the community. Mm-hmm. So community support is key, and that changes the community mindset as to the way they look at law enforcement. That's very important. We also have to recognize, though, that we are in a dramatic change in our society, moving toward a more digital society. No longer is the media a recognized, well-defined entity, but there is social media everywhere. Every citizen is a potential reporter. Therefore, every contact with a citizen is a potential publicized event, because every citizen has a recording device on them, and many are not afraid to use it. And then you have your activists who are looking for opportunities, and there's now a growing trend of these First Amendment audits that are going wild on the on YouTube and social media. And this is where law enforcement and security professionals are being baited. It is imperative through training that we start changing the culture and mindset of these officers to be less confrontational and be very knowledgeable as to the law and as to citizen constitutional rights, because citizens are now more inclined to challenge law enforcement and their perceptions, the citizens' perceptions as to their constitutional rights, are by and large learned through the internet, which may be wildly skewed. But the law enforcement officer needs to know where those lines are drawn very, very clearly and interact with the citizens in a way of not exacerbating situations, but de-escalating. So a key weapon system the law enforcement officer today in the 21st century needs is their intellect. We need very smart officers coming into the career field, and we need to develop those officers so they can think in a more community-centric manner, but still be very cognizant of the threats that escalate all the way up to the extreme violence that we're seeing today, the well-planned and orchestrated violence, some of which is directed at them in the form of ambushes, in the form of outright attacks.
One last question. We're on the eve of a change of administration. We have an inauguration coming up in a couple of days with a whole new cabinet. How do you see the Department of Justice playing in this, and also Homeland Security and the other federal components?
But I think that there will be some dramatic change, and I think that the country will feel a sense of change in the relationship between the federal agencies and the state and local government agencies. I think it will be felt as positive. I think the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division will change its approach to a degree, but I also caution that I do not think that will change dramatically the trend and the synergy of public opinion with respect to law enforcement in and of itself. That's a dynamic that is separate from the relational changes that between federal, state, and local agencies. I'm hopeful that we will see a improvement in state and local grants, and that we will see improvement in substantive, real support between DHS and our state and local partners throughout the Emergency Management and Emergency Preparedness Consortium. I think that's going to change dramatically. I think that it will be a broader focus Clearly, cyber is going to be a major, major focus area. But I think it will be beyond just law enforcement. I think that will also tremendously benefit a strengthening, a community strengthening at the national, state, local, and community levels across emergency management in general and emergency preparedness.
Great. Well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Appreciate your insights and look forward to meeting up with you again and maybe after the election, and we'll see how all this plays out.